Alrighty, folks, thanks for tuning in. Scott, man, it has been too long since we've done a podcast. I mean, obviously I'm back in the States now, but man, I can't even remember the last time we did a podcast.
Yeah, brother, I tell you what, it's been a long time. I went back and looked at our last episode, and it was preseason before football had even started. We were talking about the Hall of Fame game getting canceled. You know, we used to say that we were two brothers separated by the Atlantic Ocean. Well, now we're separated by that great Mississippi River. Glad to have you back stateside, brother.
Yeah, it's good to be back, and now we're only separated by 1 hour versus the six-hour difference that we were doing there last year. But, man, you know, since preseason, a lot has gone on. I mean, we haven't – obviously, the Dallas Cowgirls, I mean, boys, you know, your team went down in a blaze of glory in overtime to the Green Bay Packers. And then beyond that, going on to the Super Bowl, an epic, epic failure by the Atlanta Falcons club. I mean, by a great team, you know, maybe, you know, one of the best franchises. What a dynasty with, you know, Coach Belichick and Tom Brady there. But, I mean, the Cowboys made it far. The Skins, another disappointing season for us. And it might be even worse this year, but a lot has gone on.
Yeah, I tell you what, that Atlanta Falcons Patriots Super Bowl, what a game that was. I tell you what, I can't imagine being a Falcons fan. And if that's the way the Cowboys are going to have to lose a Super Bowl, if they went to the Super Bowl, I'm kind of glad that they lost to the Packers at home with two rookies. So that made me feel better, I'll tell you what.
Yeah, you know what? And actually, the Dallas franchise in general, because I'm going to tell you, I think if those two young rookies, you know, first year in the league, make a hard charge to the Super Bowl like that and then epically fail going into a halftime with such a large lead, you know, I don't know if they would have had the withal to come back the next season.
Yeah, it kind of would have been a difference of two worlds. You know, Peyton Manning goes out in 2016, wins the Super Bowl, then retires. That would have been Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott lose the Super Bowl in unprecedented fashion and they retire. So that would have been, you know,
it would have been tough to come back to have a great season. Yeah, it was a good season for your Dallas team and Redskins. Who knows what's going on, but a lot of controversy there in DC radio apparently, Scott.
Oh man, I tell you what, everything that's going on here up in Ashburn, it's crazy. The stuff that has happened over this past, 2 weeks? Yeah. A couple weeks ago, you had Bruce Allen come out and say that Scott McLuhan is off limits to the media. He won't be talking to the media at the combine. That just won't happen. Then you got Chris Cooley coming out on ESPN 980 saying that, hey, he, you know, sources have told him that there might be an alcohol problem. Of course, Scott McLuhan, you know, has a past history with alcoholism. So you hate to hear that. Then a couple days ago, before the combine even starts, Bruce Allen says, you know what? He's not even going to be there. He's not coming. And you know, everyone was like, well, what's going on? And Bruce Allen says, well, he's going to be with his family because his grandma died. Well, Bill, his grandma died February 6th.
I know it.
And I mean, it's just like for a GM not to be at the combine, first you have him, hey, you can't talk to him. Now he's not even going to be there. What is going on in up in D.C.?
That's a great question, Scotty, and I don't know if anyone knows except for Dan Snyder, Bruce Allen, and Scott McLuhan himself, because obviously they're not telling us the truth. I mean, I think it was you that just told me it. I actually chastised an article by Rich Chandler last week on CSNY. So I said I was rather a negative tweet, but I was just sick and tired of hearing all this controversy coming out of D.C. and this constant talk. I mean, we signed Kirk Cousins. We finally signed Kirk Cousins. Yeah, we put him on a franchise tag. But then these damn rumors come out from I don't know where. You know, here I am all the way in Arkansas, and they're talking about a three-way trade between the Cowboys, the 49ers and the Washington Redskins to get Cousins out to San Francisco and bringing Romo into D.C. And I'm like, where's Rich Chandler? Where's he getting this news from? And, oh, he cites a tweet from Ian Rappaport, ESPN. I'm like, I've been hearing this. I'm like, and then it's just Ian Rappaport says someone from within the organization. And then it comes out today, you know, that Bruce Allen made this up to deflect some of the media attention off the Scott McLuhan deal.
Yeah,
you know, that's what's going on. And the only common denominator here with all this misinformation with Mike Shanahan there in D.C. and the media was like Mike Shanahan was always giving misinformation or outright lies to the media. You know, this all stems from Bruce Allen, and it's just a bad look for the Washington Redskins.
Yeah, you know, just as it was funny, I started pulling up some articles on Scott McLuhan, and I mean, you think back to a year ago, Bill, Scott McLuhan was the savior for the Redskins.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was just this thing about how he was going to right the ship. He was going to start, you know, put the Redskins on the path that they need to go, not let Dan Snyder run the team, basically. And to go from a year ago to now, it's baffling, but then it kind of isn't, because that's kind of what we expect from the Skins. It's not surprising. So to add on more to that story, so of course, the story about Scott McLuhan not going to be there because of his grandma, and everyone's like, well, his grandma died a month ago. Like, he should still be there. But they didn't give another reason. The Redskins were just hush-hush about it. And then they come up with that trade. Supposedly Bruce Allen kind of made the story up, gave it to Ian Rappaport. Ian Rappaport, of course, you know, talked about it because, hey, that's a good article. Romo to the Redskins, oh! Which we'll get into Romo here in a second. But and then apparently, of course, that didn't distract from the fact that McLuhan wasn't at the combine this past weekend. So what did the Redskins go do? They go extend Jay Gruden's contract. And apparently, yeah, from what I'm hearing, is that that was more of a ploy. Hey, let's get some more attention away from McLuhan. Hey, we extended Jay Gruden 2 years. Look at us, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what's going on, but it, you know, it kind of is not surprising. And I feel bad for you being a Redskin fan, because, listen, we got to messed up sometimes with Jerry Jones, but whatever Dan Snyder and Bruce Allen's doing, I mean, it just doesn't make it up fake stories. You have a GM that kind of seems like he's doing a decent job. This Kirk Cousins thing won't go away about where is he going to go. The franchise tag him, won't give him a long-term deal. I don't know.
Yeah, it's tough right now. I don't think the ship is going down by any means, but definitely the ship is in rough seas right now, and it definitely needs to be righted. And I do believe, like you said, the Coach Gruden signing a 2-year extension was just something to right the ship a little bit. But, I mean, you know, we're seeing guys bail. I mean, Pierre Garçon, gone. He's leaving. I was just watching on CSNWashington.com a little interview with Torrey Smith, who's not going to be playing for the – I don't know who he just got, the Ravens, I guess. Another good receiver. But even it was funny to hear him. And, you know, DeSean Jackson made this statement earlier this year, too. They just want to go to teams that have stability.
Yeah.
You know, that's what Torrey Smith just said in the interview on CSN Washington. I know that DeSean Jackson made that statement, a stable team. Right now, there's not a whole lot of stability out at Ashburn, Virginia, and they need to address it. It's frustrating. It is. It's a bit frustrating. What's on the bright side? Hey, I'm a Coach Gruden fan. I'm definitely a Kirk Cousins fan. I wish they would sign him to a long contract. There's speculation that now that Kurt can't get signed to a long-term deal, he doesn't want to be in Washington. But that was on another article on CSN, on CSNWashington.com, was an article I was reading earlier today. It said NFL media reporter Steve Weiss talked about what he was told by some who work at Redskins Park. So he was told by some who work at Redskins Park. What does that mean?
Yeah.
Are you talking to the groundskeeper? Are you talking to the dude painting the lines on the practice field?
I mean, you see it all,
some.
You see it all the break, time, but man. What? How many sources are talking? People need to keep their mouths shut up at Ashburn, at Redskins Park. Yeah. I mean, you see it all the time, Al. Our sources within the organization, but I feel like, I mean, just this past month and a half, everything's coming out of, you know, Redskins Park. But who's talking?
Who's talking and what's true, right? When you got Bruce Allen just making up crap and saying it like that.
Well, right, divert the attention. Right?
Any time that Kirk's on camera, I mean, he's the perfect spokesman. You know what I'm saying? He's a perfect company guy. You know, and obviously he's a nice guy. So, I mean, I haven't heard Kurt or his agent say anything like that they don't plan on being here next year. I mean, this guy's made around $24 million last year. He's going to make $24 million this year. Why would you want to go anywhere? Just because the agent and the organization can't agree on some, you know, multi-gazillion dollar contract, man? He's making big bucks right now. So I have a feeling right now that there's so much disarray in Redskins Park. If you walk out of Ashburn Park from the freaking souvenir store in a Redskins polo and you grab some ESPN reporter or some sports person and say, hey, I heard this. They're going to take it and run with it. There's such
a, I know what I'm doing this weekend.
And you charge 75 bucks or $1,000 for whatever soundbite you want to provide. And, I mean, these news agencies, it's not just, it's all media these days, just so hungry to be first to report something. A lot of times the integrity of what they're reporting is a second thought, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, who would have thought at the beginning of the season? You know, I remember asking you during the season, who did you want to keep as far as wide receiver, Deshaun or Pierre? Pierre's going to the 49ers.
Yeah.
Now Kyle Shanahan, who loved Kirk Cousins, is with the 49ers as their head coach.
Yeah.
Pierre Garçon, the best season he's had in the past couple of years was when Kyle Shanahan was the offensive coordinator. Kirk Cousins doesn't seem to be happy because I think he kind of feels disrespected. And again, it is chaos at Redskins Park. So, man, I don't know what to say about the Redskins. It's baffling to me sitting from the outside looking in. And I can only imagine what you're feeling as a fan watching this take place. Because, you know, like I said, it was so optimistic. You know, you kind of had found a franchise quarterback you could build around. You got Josh Norman. You know, the plan for this offseason was to get Cousins to a long-term contract and then build that defense, sign one of those two wide receivers. Doesn't look like that's going to happen. I saw something that said that Deshaun's probably going to sign with Tampa Bay. So, you know, you don't have a running back. You don't have wide receivers. Your defense is array. You might not have a GM come later on this week.
Yeah, so, but we got the president of football operations in Bruce Allen. I mean, he has GM experience.
Oh, okay. All right.
That's not saying a lot, though. But
it's really not. It's really not.
It's tough. It's tough, man. And now, so what is it? You know, you hope you don't lose Deshaun Jackson. I would have rather held on to Pierre Garçon. He made some big, big catches for us last year. Obviously, he's not the deep threat that Deshaun is. But I don't know. I think Deshaun is just like a catalyst on the field. I think he makes other things happen. Defenses have to account for Deshaun when he's on the field. And I'm not an expert. I don't sit there and review film or anything to notice that, hey, you know, the free safety is cheating over to Jackson's side or anything like this, or some linebackers are paying extra attention to him over the middle or something. But I don't know. I hope we can re-sign Deshaun. We did re-sign Vernon Davis, who made some big catches for us last year. He dropped some big catches, but he also made some big catches for us, especially when Jordan Reed was missing some time due to injury. And Vernon came in last year, and I think he continues to have this attitude. He knows he's past his prime, but he's still a very physical, very physically capable player, and he knows he's past his prime. And he said, hey, I'm just here to do whatever I can. And he proved that last year in run blocking, coming up with some big catches. I'm happy we at least re-signed Vernon. I think he's good for the locker room, too.
I think he's great for the locker room. That's what y'all need. That's the kind of people that you need to build around. And I've kind of felt like that's what McLuhan was doing. You know, Vernon Davis, a veteran guy who can kind of lead that offense right now, especially if you end up getting rid of Kirk Cousins. You don't really have a lot of veterans on that offensive side.
Nah.
So.
But we should have Kurt for a year. We got Kurt for a year. We'll see where it goes.
I think he's gone. I really do think he's gone. I think he's gone, and McLuhan's gone before the draft.
Okay.
So
we'll see.
I don't, you know.
Before the draft, even. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Well, that just means I'll spend a lot more time in the deer stand this year. I was telling a friend of mine at work. It's like, man, if it just goes down, I'll go hunting more. That's all. Not going to waste my Sundays in front of a day on TV.
That's it. So enough of the Redskin talk.
I'm getting depressed. I'm going to start drinking.
Sick of hearing about the Burgundy. Where is my boy, which I'm heartbroken about, Bill? I'm going to be wearing his jersey tomorrow. Little Cooper is going to be wearing his Romo jersey tomorrow out of respect for one of the greatest quarterbacks in Dallas Cowboy history. I know people are going to say he couldn't win a playoff game. But how much of that was on him? And we could talk about that all day. The guy had the most fourth quarter comebacks in NFL history so far. He leads the franchise in passing yards and in passing touchdowns. So I love Romo. I think we might end up regretting letting him go. I know his contract was big, but I think he's going to do good wherever he goes. Bill, where is he going to end up? That's the question.
That is a great question. Kind of a dark horse for me is the Arizona Cardinals.
I think Denver,
but I believe Arizona, because they don't like to pay a lot of money for quarterbacks. I don't know what he's going to demand. I don't know what he's going to demand. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I don't know what he's going to, what does he bring to the table? You know, he's one hit away, I think, from permanent retirement, and that's involuntary retirement, in my opinion. If he can stay healthy, he needs to be behind an offensive line that can protect him. That's why it's unfortunate, I guess, for you guys that they couldn't restructure his contract to keep him in Dallas, which I think he was willing to do. That's some things I heard over the radio. Did you hear anything like that? He was willing to take a big pay cut or no? Or I don't even know if that was possible under the salary cap rules. I don't even know if that's possible.
Yeah, I don't think so. And I think he just has that desire to still play. I mean, you know, he let Dax take the reins during the season. And, you know, I think he just got his health back. You know what I mean? And,
right.
Because he could have come in, what, week 8 and started playing. But then he said, you know, this is Dak's team. He's deserved it. You know, there's what I believe our record at that time was 4-2.
Yeah.
Or 5-1. So hey, Dak's deserved it. But I'd love to see him with a team that has a chance of winning it. Denver would be great. You got Demaryius Thomas, Colonel Sanders up there.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, you know, new coach up there, too. I'd love to see him in Denver, mainly because my brother-in-laws are big Broncos fans. And for years on years, they used to call Tony Romo a certain name that I will not speak, but I believe everyone knows it. Hey, you said it. You said it. And I would love to see him behind center just to see their faces during the season, hear them rooting on Romo.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think they have a guy in Paxton Lynch or in Trevor Siemian. I don't think that's going to be their solution to quarterback. So why not bring in Tony Romo for a couple of seasons, let him, you know, get another quarterback in the draft, learn behind Romo, a la Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, and, you know, go from there.
Right off into the sunset, huh?
That's
right
it. Off into that's the it.
Sunset. So. Do you think the Cowboys should have held on to him? I mean.
Yeah, you know, I really do. The thing is, I think Dak was very successful this year. He was smart. He didn't turn the ball over.
Yeah.
But the one thing he lacked was he didn't make any big plays. He really didn't make big down the field plays.
No.
And if you're going to be a winning quarterback in the NFL, you got to be able to throw that ball deep and make big down the field plays.
Roger that.
And I worry about that with it. He just doesn't have the arm for that. Mm. And
Have the arm, or you think he was being a bit too timid since he was a rookie?
No, I don't think he has the arm. Watched him at the
Pro Bowl. That's a big dude, man.
He is a big dude, but I watched him during the Pro Bowl. And granted, it's the Pro Bowl and the skills competition. But he was trying to hit some of those targets in the end zone that were, you know, 45 yards out. And he couldn't hit those targets.
No, yeah.
And you see someone up there get up there like Phillip Rivers, Drew Brees, have no problem hitting those targets 45 yards away. You know what I mean? Makes me worry a little bit. And the thing is, I grew up here. Close, you know, 60 miles away from D.C. I remember one quarterback that had a hell of a rookie season.
Yeah.
He looked fantastic.
Yep. And then what happened? Defense is caught up.
So,
defensive we'll coordinators caught up. But we can talk about that stuff later in the sophomore demise of one Dallas Cowboys quarterback.
That's it.
Anyway, Scotty, it's not all, you know, it's not all tears and heartache and controversy and drama in D.C., man. How about those Washington Capitals? We got some Washington Wizards playing winning basketball under Scott Brooks. What looks like it was going to be a dismal season for the Wizards, but they're playing good ball in the Caps. Man, I lost track. I got my schedule confused. I didn't even know the Caps were playing the other night when they lost to Dallas at home. But how about that Verizon? Yeah, we got a hard time with Dallas, right? But how about the Caps right now, man? And Kevin Shattenkirk. I mean, how's he working out for us?
Yeah, what a big play to go out and get a defenseman like Shattenkirk and bolster that blue line. I love that the Caps did that. I love that they just didn't stand pat, because all you heard going up to the trade deadline was Caps are probably going to stand pat. They're going to stand pat. They might go out and sign, you know, one guy, no name, take him down to Hershey, just kind of for insurance. They're going to stand pat. And then we got the news about Shattenkirk, man. And I love that they bolstered that blue line. I think it's going to be good. Works out for them. Shows that they're not comfortable just staying put in the division. And when it comes to playing those pesky Penguins, man, they're going to need all the defensive of help they can get.
Well, that's it. I was watching the NHL Network the other night, and the commentators on there, they're great. And they're like, you know what? For as good as the Caps look, they're still going to have to get past the Penguins and the New York Rangers. And we both know that they give them a heck, they give them fits in the playoffs. But, dude, this year, I feel different. You know, the Caps have had some really high-powered offenses in the past. I felt over the last couple seasons, even underneath Barry Trotz, our defense in around the net had gotten soft and allowed a lot of goals because of less breakdowns in defense, mostly around the net, close quarters. But, man, couple weeks ago, I think we were sixth in the league in goals against, you know, and then we're, whatever, fifth in the league for goals scored. I mean, definitely tearing it up this year, and just a really a more – this is the most solid Caps team I've ever seen all around, talking about lines 1-4. Looking really, really good right now.
Yeah, and you just got to love it. The one weakness that the Caps had last season was they let other teams score first. And when you're letting other teams put up points on the board at the first, and you're not going to win – a lot of ball games. Now, granted, they had
they're playing ball such games.
You're the worst. What do you want, man? It's baseball season two now. You know.
Yeah.
But
Matt's lost today, by the way.
I know. We'll get it. We'll talk about.
Actually,
later.
I'm sorry, Scotty. We are first in the league in goals against at 134. First in the league in goals against, and then goals for we are third.
So well, first I saw that. I pulled that up. Yeah, third.
Yeah, sorry. So, anyway, in the ball games, back to Scott Wolf.
Yeah, God, what's wrong with you? You're the worst. But Washington has scored first in 45 of its 65 games this season. So the one thing that they really needed to improve on, which was scoring first, they've done that this season. And I think that's making the difference. And not only are we doing that, but we're putting up multiple goals in the games. We've had 20 games by a margin of three or more goals this season. The most in the NHL. So we're scoring.
Repeat that stat again. How many what?
We've won 20 games by a margin of goals this season.
That's almost half our wins right there,
That's the most in the NHL, which is great because that means that offense is clicking. And, you know, the one thing that's amazing to me is they're not relying heavily on Ovechkin. In years past, I was like, oh, if Ovechkin's slowing down, the Caps offense isn't going. No, everybody's picking it up. TJ Oshie.
Who do you think's go ahead. I'm sorry. TJ Oshie.
TJ Oshie's getting it done, but, you know, the silence killer that no one ever thinks about, Nicholas Backstrom, son. He is just fantastic this season. He's playing so good. Who do you think's been the difference maker?
I'll tell you, I think you hit it right there as I'm looking up Backstrom's stats right now. He's back. Backstrom. No, I think he's been the kind of the guy. Obviously, TJ Oshie's been Nicholas Backstrom. I want to look at his career. He's scored more goals this season than I can remember. You know what I'm saying? Is of any of the seasons that I've watched. I can't bring this up. God dog it. Career. There we go. Goals. There's games. I want to look up goals. Points scored. Obviously, games played. Is that goals? Yeah. So. Let's see, the most goals he scored in a season. Looks like he did score 33 goals back in 2009, 2010, and he scored 21 this. He only scored 20 goals last year, and he's already scored 21. The last time he scored 21 goals was that 2009, 2010 season, and then the season before that was 22. So, obviously, he's going to break that. So, he's on pace, really, to break his goals for this year, but he's always had a solid game, but it always seemed like he's been a bit apprehensive to pull the trigger. But this year, Nick Backstrom's really pulling the trigger a lot. And, man, if you saw that goal the other night, it was a blue line feed right from number 22, Shattenkirk, to good old Nicky Backstrom right in front of the net. Do you see that slap pass? And he just deflected it up and over the goal. It was a great, great pass.
So, top shelf. Yep.
Oh, man, that was sweet. It was sweet. So, you know, and then, I mean, I think Nicky Backstrom has been one of the real keys, and people looked to him because he's the quiet leader. He loves to win, and he just makes magic happen on the ice. And I think someone that's coming on strong, another kind of a silent dude, but, you know, Evgeny Kuznetsov, obviously I don't think he's creating all the highlights like he did his first year in the league this year, but this year he just seems to be, you know, the consistent producer. a point or two there. You'll come around, come away with like some three-game, four-game streaks of points scored in games, then be quiet and then come back. But, you know, I love watching Kuznetsov skate. I mean, he's magical on the ice. So, but backs him for sure. How about you?
Yeah, I agree with that. He's third in the league in assists with 46. He's seventh right now in total points, tied with Malkin and Burns with 67 points. He's just getting it done, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
And the thing with the Caps, too, is just their defense has really played so well this year. Dmitry Orlov has a plus 30 on the season. Brooks Orpik has a plus 32 on the season. They're in the top five in the NHL for defensemen. I mean, that's getting it done. When your defensemen are playing also and they got that plus going on, that's a winning recipe, brother.
It is right there. And, you know, like you said, over the last few seasons, I think our defense has been really a weak link for us. But that's definitely not the case this year. As a matter of fact, I really like to look up blocked shots on the stat sheet. But I don't see team summary. How about blocked shots? Do we have that on here? On this website I'm on. Shoot off. No. Season type.
Well, while you're looking that up, you know what I mean? Like, Braden Holtby leading the league in goals against average with 1.93. I mean, who thought he could do better than he did last year? But he's getting it done. He has 8 shutouts on the season. And, again, I think that goes back to the wonderful defense that the Caps are playing. You know, they had a problem against the Stars the other night. He got 3 goals scored against them, and Trotz pulled Holtby from the game. And, you know, the team seemed very upset by that because they knew it wasn't on Holtby. It was on their defense. They just weren't getting it done. And for whatever reason, just the Dallas Stars.
They got our number. Well. I know.
I don't get it. It's like the Cowboys Redskins, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing, and it's disheartening and all those things. And good for Dallas because I think they're having a challenging season, so good for them. Whatever. They stopped our streak. Whatever. The Dallas-Washington rivalry lives on. So
it'll be interesting to see how they do here on the West Coast this week.
Yeah, man. We got the Sharks coming up tomorrow night. I don't know who we play on Saturday, but I know Saturday or Sunday, I know we got the Anaheim Ducks. Guy at work I work with, he's a big Ducks fan. He was pretty happy with
it. It'll be good to see how they do against the Sharks. You know, of course, Sharks went to the Stanley Cup Finals last year. And they're leading the Pacific Division. So it'll be interesting to see if they can hold their own. You know, they've played so well at home. You'd like to see them really string a bunch of wins together now on the road.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, and then, you know, and then like I said this week, they play Anaheim too. Anaheim's third in the Pacific Division. So, I mean, they're playing some good hockey too. Looks like they allow quite a few goals, but 168 on the season so far. But, you know. It should be a good test for us on the road, on the West Coast. But they get to sleep in a little bit, so hopefully they'll be okay. But man, that game tomorrow night doesn't come on until 10:30 your time, huh? Don't guess you'll watch much of it.
Yeah. Anyway. Well, that might be a come home, take a 2-hour nap, get up, watch some of the game, go back to bed, kind of thing, you know.
Yeah. Well, good.
So, but that'll be a good game. It'll be interesting to see how they do. Against, you know, on this West Coast trip, but hopefully when they get back, we'll get my boy back, Burakovsky.
Yeah, no kidding.
They had talked about maybe he was going to be making the trip with them, but they decided, I guess, at the last minute that he was going to stay behind, and hopefully he'll be back when we play the Wild there on the 14th.
Yeah, the Wild putting together a fine season too, leading the Central Division with, 90 points compared to the 95 points that we have. Minnesota's playing really good hockey, but I think that's going to be a real good test for us, too. Are we playing them home or away there? Let's see. What do we got?
The Wild?
Yeah, Minnesota.
Yeah, I'm playing at home. Yeah.
Okay, so it's unbelievable how good at home we've been this year. I mean, it's great.
Verizon Center, man. That's all they had, their 350th sellout when we played the Stars the other night. So
dang.
Getting it done there in D.C.
Mm-hmm. Well, hey, man, how about the Nats this year, Scotty? Man, you told me something really weird as a, you know, former pitcher in school and stuff, that Steven Strasburg still listed as a starting pitcher. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay, but he's going
to – He might be opening day starter.
Well, yeah, with Scherzer still fighting this finger issue, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so we got some weird things coming out of national spring training here, especially if you know anything about pitching. But you got Scherzer with the finger issue talking about moving over to throwing a three-finger fastball. And then Strasburg, instead of pitching from the full windup, going to a pitching from the stretch windup.
Yeah.
Even from the middle of the game, for those folks that aren't that familiar, you normally pitch from a full windup with a nice big leg kick and everything when there's no one on base. And then when you get someone on base, you pitch from the stretch, which is a quicker delivery to the plate. But obviously, Steven Strasburg, I told you, man, at least he's doing something. I mean, he's been injury prone over the last few seasons, or, man, really for a long time. So at least he's trying to change something. What do you think about it?
Yeah, you know what I mean? He's got to do something different, preserve that arm and keep away from those oblique strains and all the problems he has. Just seemed like he was kind of injury prone. So I guess the one thing he said, that the reason he was doing it, trying it out during spring training, which I agree, that's when you should try stuff out, is during spring training. But he, it helped him preserve some of the energy for later on in the game. It wasn't as tough on his body going from the stretch as from the full windup. So, hey, whatever works, man. I just want to see results. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear you talking. I hear you talking. And, man, what are the moves that you've liked to see, or what kind of moves this season have the Nationals made that have made you happy, or maybe they made you not so happy?
Well, you know, I feel like they gave up a lot for, you know, Adam Eaton.
Yeah.
Of course, going to be playing center field for the Nats. Smaller guy, but has a lot of power. Going to be hitting at the top of the lineup. He was leading off for the Chicago White Sox, but of course you got Trey Turner. Problem is, if you got Adam Eaton batting second, you're probably going to have Harper third, Daniel Murphy fourth, or the flip-flop those two around. And all three of those guys are starting pitchers.
Right.
So that's a lefty-heavy lineup. And, you know, I mean, if you care about lefty-righty, which, you know, some baseball people do, some don't, that's going to be problematic. But I didn't care for that because we had to give up Giolito. You know, our pitching depth isn't great. Obviously, you got the question mark with Scherzer. Is he going to be able to have that velocity on that fastball thrown at three-finger? I know he pitched bullpen the other day, in the bullpen, and he said he didn't feel any pain afterwards going three-finger. And I guess the plan is hopefully to get him in the game. But it'll be interesting to see, does that affect that velocity on that fastball? Because we know he's had the trouble, the one thing that Scherzer's always had a trouble with since he's been in Washington National is giving up that home run ball. And if you don't have your fastball going, I kind of worry about that.
Yeah, that's really, you know, that's one of those things I think that's turned him into the Cy Young Award winner that he is the type of competitor he is. Some people try to manage the game and stuff, but, you know, and I'm with you, that's his one weakness, but it's also the strength of his game, and that's his demeanor on the mound is he's not afraid to come at you. You know what I mean? He's not afraid to attack the hitter. And obviously, it seems like he gives up a lot of home runs. He does give up his fair share. But, man, look at the wins. You can't deny the overall results because of his aggressive style. But my one big question was, Scotty, if you said you were going back and listening to some of our earlier podcasts. Man, I know one season, I think this is over the past year or two, we were talking about Nats in preseason. Man, what's the one thing we really need to really set this team apart? And I think it could have even been last season or the season before. Man, if we only had a catcher, if we only had a catcher that could hit, and we finally got one last year, Wilson Ramos takes it upon himself to go get the LASIK eye surgery or whatever it was, fix his eyeballs, and he comes out an all-star MVP type season, batting .307. And belting 22 home runs, his best season of his career, and we managed, at the plate anyway, and we managed to lose him, dude.
Yeah.
How on planet Earth did Mike Rizzo let that happen?
Well, of course, you know, don't forget that he got hurt his knee again, which, you know, of course, he hurt his knee against the Reds in 2012. So that was kind of the thing. It's like he's always fought injury. I believe that's the reason the Nats did not sign him. They were worried about committing. You're not going to have him probably till May or June at the earliest, and that's if everything heals up. And you know, of course, catchers and bad knees don't go well together. So I think that was really the big thing. But, you know, I look for them to go out and sign some big-name catchers. Right now, we've got four on the roster.
Wow. Do you think Wieters is going to amount to anything?
You know, a lot of people speak highly of Wieters, but I believe he's kind of past his prime. I don't think he's going to make that big of a difference, not what Ramos was able to provide. You got Derek Norris, who, of course, we traded to Oakland, and now he is back with the Nationals. I think he has a lot of power, but, you know, he almost led the league last season in strikeouts. I mean, isn't that why we got rid of Ian Desmond? You know, and then you got the young guys. You got Pedro Severino. He's doing well in spring training, but, again, he's a young guy. I mean, is he going to be able to carry this team, and is he going to be able to play past Norris or Wieters? I know the one thing they were talking about, and the question remaining for the Nats is, who's going to close for us? We don't have a closer. Of course, Melanson went to the Pirates in the offseason, so we don't have a closer at this time. What are we going to do? And now I know Chicago White Sox are going to be looking for a catcher. We've got four of them. There's been rumors about us maybe getting Robertson from the White Sox, but I don't know what the Nats are going to do, who they're going to trade. I would love them to keep Severino because I think he has a lot of potential, but they're going to have to keep either Norris or Wieters, because I don't think Severino is ready yet to be an everyday catcher. I think he's still too raw, and there's stuff he needs to work on. Derek Norris has thrown every runner out that has tried to steal during spring training so far, so that's good to see. We haven't seen Wieters play yet, so I'm anxious to see what he looks like behind the plate. But, yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of questions for the Nats. They've got to start winning now. Bryce Harper, we got two seasons left for Bryce Harper, and then he's a free agent, and there's no way he's going to sign with us, I don't believe. He's going to be looking for a monster contract. I believe he's gone. So it'll be interesting to see what they do. They've got to compete this season. They have a lot of young guys. They've got veteran guys that need to step up. You look at Worth. You look at Zimmerman, guys that need to put their bats together if this team's going to be able to succeed. So, and then they're starting pitching. You know, we've gone over that. Strasburg injuries, Scherzer injuries. Do you trust Tanner Roark? Is he going to be able to keep the success that he had last season when he was the most consistent pitcher for us? Of course, you have Scherzer, who won Cy Young. Joe Ross, is he going to be able to keep the injury bug away from him? Of course, he was injured. I believe he missed about 50 games last season. And then you got Gio, and Gio has always been a question mark for us. He had the great season in 2013 and was a contender for the Cy Young. But after that, he kind of fell off, and, you know, he's our lefty out of the at the end of the starting rotation. There we go. See, I can get my baseball terms down. You know what I mean, brother?
Yeah, buddy.
But there's a lot of question marks, and we'll see how it goes here towards the end of the month. And, you know, of course, we'll do another show once we get to see what this team's actually going to fold out and bring out for opening day.
Yeah, man. Just looking up old Adam Eaton's stats here. You know, he's from some of our relatives way up there, Springfield, Ohio, and actually attended Miami of Ohio.
That's right. Yep. That's where good old Dave Glock and Alex Glock are. Davey graduated from here this December, and Alex is...
He's working on an advanced... He's a professional student. He assures me he's got a plan, and it's going to finish up soon.
Okay.
So he's chugging along, but he might end up going to the University of Ohio. What's it, the Buckeyes? I don't know. He's living in Columbus right now, so...
Yeah, so he's a little far away from Miami, but yeah.
Right there in Columbus, and it could be a future Buckeye. So go Glockster. But, man, Miami, a lot of famous people. I mean, Dave Glock Jr. and Ben Roethlisberger. Does it get any bigger?
I don't think so.
And now Adam Eaton. So,
what is in the water?
I don't know what it is. Miami of Ohio. So, go Miami. Anyway, yeah, still a little too early to tell. But, you know, checking the old website, Severino and our boy Michael A. Taylor both had two hits today in preseason ball down south there. And actually showing five catchers on the Nats roster right now. Lobatone, Norris, Reed, Severino, and Matt Wieters. So, quite the... We'll see what happens. Where did your favorite shortstop go last year? You know,
Ian Desmond?
No.
Danny Espinosa.
Danny Espinosa. What happened to him?
A good old switch hitter. He actually went to the Los Angeles Angels.
Aha, uh-huh, okay. I just want to know where he's at. So I just wanted...
You can keep track of him.
Keep track of him. Make sure he doesn't come back to D.C. So. Well, hey, brother, that's about all I got for this evening, unless there's anything that I missed that you think we need to hit and talk about.
I tell you what, the one thing I'm going to need you to do here before our next show, hopefully we'll be able to try and get one in next week sometime, is I need you to figure out and watch some college basketball, because we're going to have to put a bracket together here probably next week. And
when does it start? NCAA tournament? I thought it started Monday.
What? A lot of the conference games, championship games are going on now.
Okay.
So.
Okay, it starts on Tuesday, March 14th. And ends on Monday, April 3rd. So, yeah, let's get a bracket together. We can talk about it.
Yeah, we'll go over each game. I think that'd be a good little episode. It'll take some time, but I think,
over every game.
No, come on. Stop being a bum. We got time. Oh, what are you doing?
Who's got life? Time? Nothing. Dude. Wait till Little Cooper starts playing sports.
I got Chris
running a 5K this weekend. I got stuff to do. I got to change the clock spring on the Jeep. It's underneath my airbag, but we got a lot going on. All right, so we'll do an NCAA bracket.
Practice your call-in. You know?
Oh, yeah, practice my call-in. We're going to have a call-in next week? Turkey. Yeah, if I ever get that turkey call-in. Yeah, so hopefully it gets here. But all righty, brother, it's been fun. And until next time, folks.
Yeah. Thanks. Make sure you follow us on Twitter.
Yeah.
Subscribe.
What is it? Howlin' Sports Radio, right?
Howlin' Sports Radio on iTunes. Subscribe.
Yeah. Subscribe, please. We need more followers. And more importantly, we need more listeners. But until then, folks, have a great week. For Scott Wolf, I'm Bill Wolf.